December 4th, 2012. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna at spingola.com, but I do not access that email account during the program. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take your calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Jonathan Gray. He is the author of Forbidden Secret and Dead Men's Secret. His website is beforeus.com. And I was watching a video this morning. Let me see. The name of that video was, well, I don't have it here in my notes, but it was absolutely wonderful. Talked about an underwater bridge in Mount Sinai, and I will dig up the name of that video. I do have it linked on today's date so that you may watch it also. It's just one part of five. Very, very, very interesting. All right. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Deanna. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Yes, and I recognize that wonderful voice of yours from the video. Well, I thought, oh, what a pleasant accent. I just love that.
Well, it comes from the other side of the world, actually, a mixture of Australian and New Zealand.
Right, and you're in New Zealand as we speak.
That is correct, yes. We're just entering into summer here.
Right, and it is quite early in the morning, and I so appreciate you getting up. You're, I think, 19 hours ahead of us. And so it's actually the 5th where you are, and it's very early in the morning, correct?
Yes, 2 minutes past 6, Deanna.
Okay, well, I hope that you're an early riser.
Yes, I usually get up early.
Oh, good, good. Well, you have a delightful website. Your books are wonderful, and I hope that that you can share some of these wonderful things that, I've been reading about and looking at. And I was just amazed that in the video that I watched this morning about this this underwater bridge, this section of land, and how you explained how the wind can create ice from water, and all the other biblical kinds of things that you shared in this five-part video.
Oh, yes, that's been one of our most exciting finds, has been the remains spread out across the floor of the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aqaba branch of the Red Sea between the Sinai Peninsula and Saudi Arabia.
Right, and the fact that for all of these centuries, Mount Sinai is actually not in the right place. I mean, it was just a mountain that they decided, oh, this is the mountain. This is what we'll describe as Mount Sinai, when in fact it was over in Midian, totally in a different place. So
yes, that's correct. Yes, and all the evidence is over there. Of course, there's no evidence for the traditional site whatsoever,
which is amazing. But I have never really known anybody that has described some of the artifacts and some of the evidence that that supports the Bible, and I believe you're the first one that I'm aware of that has done this, and as I said, very, very interesting. All right, we do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors with our guest today, Jonathan Gray. Stay tuned.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free, 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now, 800-537-1339.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Jonathan Gray, the author of Forbidden Secret and Dead Men's Secrets. And you can get both of those books. Well, you can get the one, Forbidden Secret, at the website, beforeus.com. And I believe you can also purchase it through Amazon. You can get a Kindle version of Dead Men's Secrets, and you can also get the hard copy and a paperback. And that looks like a very, very fascinating book, and I'm a big user of the Kindle version of things. And the name of that, the video that I was talking about is Surprising Discoveries, and the sea will tell. So I don't know where you'd like to start, so I'm just going to let you take it away and just start educating us about the things that you've discovered.
Well, Deanna, you perhaps wanted to talk a little bit about that Red Sea crossing discoveries. That's one of our most interesting ones.
Oh, I think so. And all the artifacts that you found under the sea is just amazing. Chariot wheels and horses' hooves and everything.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, the traditional site of, if you look at the maps that we are given, and even maps in the backs of Bibles, you'll find that these are largely guesswork based upon the knowledge that was available at the time they were first drawn up. And it's traditionally been thought that the exodus from Egypt was either a myth, or else if it was true, then they crossed over the Red Sea near the Gulf of Suez, near the Suez Canal somewhere on the Gulf of Suez, and then they went straight up to the land of Canaan, Israel, from there. Now, the truth is that the record, the old record in Exodus and through the Old Testament, is that it was deep sea, it wasn't shallow. And I guess the reason why a lot of people have thought it might have been the Gulf of Suez area is because the Gulf of Suez is very shallow. But when they came to the sea, the Exodus record says that they were still within Egyptian territory. Now, if you go down from Cairo in Egypt and you you cross the sea, and you're still, well, the whole thing is that the topography is not the same. It says when you get down to the Red Sea, you are hemmed in. You're hemmed in by mountains. That's in the book of Exodus. You're shut in. Now, Egypt, if you go down toward the Gulf of Suez, it's all open country. It's all flat land. There are some hills in the distance, but you're not shut in. So we looked for, first of all, a place where they could get out of Egypt, and out of Egypt proper, and then be shut in before they came to the Red Sea. And other than going back backwards, if you cross the traditional route and then keep on going southeast, you come to a canyon. The canyon's about 27 miles long. It winds and twists like a snake. You're really shut in, and it ends at the Red Sea. Now, the Red Sea has two branches. It doesn't just have the Gulf of Suez. It has the Gulf of Aqaba. And when we read Josephus, the Jewish historian, we find that he says that when they got to the Red Sea, they were shut in by mountains on the south and on the north as well. So you come out of a canyon, you have mountains on the north of you, you have mountains on the south of you, you have the sea in front of you to facing east. There's no other way you go except straight into the sea. That's very different from what the topography of the Suez Canal area is, which is very, very flat.
Right.
So that kind of the setting.
In your video, you show these mountains, and it's a very visual, wonderful presentation. And you compare what it says in the scripture to the mountain, and demonstrate exactly what the truth is, or exactly what the scripture says. And like I said, something I've never seen before.
Yes, we. It's wonderful, really, when we discover that the topography fits perfectly the Exodus record. And there's only one way you can go. This canyon is called the Wadi Wetir. It's a dry riverbed, but it does have water supply. And we found that someone in the past had pushed aside all the big rocks that were naturally in the land and pushed them aside as though a passage of people had to go through here. And interestingly, when you come to the shoreline, it's a huge beach. It's about 7 miles long and it's widest about 3 miles wide, and there's plenty of room there for a nation of people. The Bible said that there were 602,000 men over the age of 20, plus women and children. So if we just multiply that by three, you get around about 2 million people. And there's plenty of room for that on this huge beach. You can see it by satellite. And not only that, there's room enough for an Egyptian army. And Josephus says that they were chased by 250,000 foot soldiers. The book of Exodus said that Pharaoh chose 600 special chariots plus all the chariots of Egypt. And our records from the Egyptian hieroglyphics state that there were little puppet pharaohs that ruling over provinces of Egypt all at the same time, who had as many as 20,000 chariots at their disposal each. So if all the chariots of Egypt were coming, you have tens of thousands of charioteers plus a quarter of a million soldiers, according to Josephus, all chasing after about 2 million people. And there's room for them all on this big beach, and no other place anywhere near the Red Sea is there such room, such
right.
space for
now,
them to camp.
Now, they were told to get out of Egypt, and then they left. So why did the Pharaoh and all of these men follow after them? They were told to leave.
Oh, that's a very good question, yes. In desperation, Pharaoh wanted to get rid of them because his people around him said, look, we'll all be dead men if you keep them here. And that's what Exodus tells us, because the plagues came one upon another and then the death of the firstborn upon Egypt. And so Pharaoh just push them out, to get rid of them, to stop all the disasters that were coming. But, you know, he had second thoughts about this. Here's a superpower. Egypt stood in relation to other nations in that time, as America stands today in relation to the nations of the world. It was a superpower. Now, you imagine these slaves escaping from Egypt and the Pharaoh unable to stop them in the eyes of the world. And it must soon have become obvious to him that he'd become a laughingstock of the world if these people escaped. And I guess it was an ego thing. It always is when battles take place. You have to win for your own reputation, and this is what Pharaoh wanted to do.
Didn't they also take a lot of resources, assets with them, gold and that kind of thing?
Oh, yes, and that would be another good reason, too, because the Egyptians just gave away stuff. The Hebrews, before they left, said, we need this, we need wagons, we need all these things, and they, to get rid of them, they said, okay, take them. And really, you know, they'd earned those things. They weren't stealing them. They had worked as slaves for nothing for scores of years. And, okay, now Egypt had lost this. Naturally, the Pharaoh would want to chase after that again and bring them back and punish them.
Okay. Okay, so they're at the water's edge, and then there's an underwater bridge that, of course, it doesn't say anything like that in the scriptures, but that is what you discovered. So
yes,
tell us about
that. Yes, most certainly. Well, now, the Gulf of Aqaba is like an underwater, if you had you took away the sea, you'd have a huge canyon going down about 5,000 feet. So it's very, very deep, just as the Bible says, the deep sea, the heart of the sea. Now, interestingly, through this canyon, it appears a lot of earth and the soil had been washed out into the Gulf of Aqaba at some time earlier. And I would look at that time as being the time of Noah's flood, the great global flood in which the seas all ran back into the hollows as the earth moved and heaved. The book of Psalms describes how that happened, actually, very interestingly, very scientifically. And so water took out a lot of soil and a lot of dirt and debris and pushed it in across that canyon from the west. The same thing happened as the water was running off the land on the eastern side. There's another canyon on the other side, and another big beach, by the way, too. And from these two beaches, east and west, there poured streams and streams, millions of tons of debris, and they met in the middle. And this provided a bridge. Now, as you go down, if you took away all the water, and you were on that shoreline on the Egyptian side, you'd have something like a 25-degree drop. 45-degree drop all the way down into the bottom of the canyon from the shore. Now, where this bridge is between these two canyons, the change of altitude is actually very, very small. It's only a 7-degree drop down to the center of the land bridge. So this would be very easy for chariots and carts and horses and people to negotiate, just a 7-degree slope and then back up 7 degrees on the other side again, about 13 miles away on the other side.
Okay.
Israeli mapping has shown it on their own maps.
Right. Well, you have this wonderful map. You have these wonderful illustrations in the video. We do have a 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Jonathan Gray. Stay tuned.
I'm American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added two 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Our guest today is Jonathan Gray, the author of Forbidden Secret and Dead Men's Secrets. His website is beforeus.com. Fascinating website. Please go there and also watch this five-part video, and there are other videos that that are available. So we're here at this land bridge, and we have all of these Hebrews. The Israelites are there, and they've got A lot of people behind them that are following close on their trail.
Oh yes, very frightening. It seems we've climbed some of the mountains along the canyon area, and it appears that the Egyptians did have an occupying force throughout what today we call the Sinai, and they had lookout posts, and they used to use mirrors and flash messages from hilltop to hilltop, which could get back to Pharaoh and his intelligence very, very quickly. And no doubt, something like a Morse code we have in use in our day, they were able to flash messages saying, the Hebrews are here, they're here. Now, the Hebrews had actually asked permission to go out and worship and sacrifice 3 days' journey. But now we find them detouring off the main route through this canyon, which was not in Pharaoh's mind to let them do. And so immediately he's had a change of thought. His men are saying, hey, we can't suffer this indignity to our nation. Let's go after them. So they do. And the Hebrews are caught between, as you might say, the devil and the deep blue sea, Diane. And so Moses calls upon God, and the Lord intervenes. He says, Moses, put your rod out toward the sea. I'm going to send a strong east wind and open up the sea for you. And that happened. His early in the night, the wind began to blow, and it separated the sea into two walls, one on the north, one on each side, actually, right and left, one on the north, one on the south. And there, as the night went on, they started decamping. Now, the Pharaoh's host had camped that night at the back of the beach where they came through the canyon, and a cloud had come in through between them. And the book of Exodus says that the Lord himself gave light from that cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, light to the Hebrews. And so the Hebrews were able to pack up camp, and they started traveling during the night across this open space. And in the morning, Pharaoh's host had been comfortably sleeping, thinking, well, we've got them anyway, so in the morning we'll round them up. Wake up, they see that they've gone, the cloud has lifted, and they see this whole host of people away over there in the distance, crossing over. So they put on their armor, Pharaoh leads them in, and away they go after these people. Very dramatic. And the height of those waves, we didn't realize, Deanna, just how big a job this would be for the wind to open up the sea and hold it there for the Israelites to come through. But it's skyscraper height. The waves on both sides, even though you've only got a 7% drop, slope down and then up again, in the middle, it would be a skyscraper height. As tall as the Empire State Building in New York, you'd have the water in the center piled up on both sides. And when we started diving, suddenly a logistic problem arose in our minds. How on earth could you have the wind blowing and then holding up that water? It would have to be like a mega hurricane. We don't see these things happening in our day. I mean, this is a once-only spectacular event. Wouldn't such a wind have blown the Hebrews away? That was our problem.
Indeed.
So, yeah.
And then you saw a word in the scripture, congealed. And you were visiting.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
So, well, I was traveling home on the plane from the Middle East back to Australia, and where I was living at the time. And I was tossing this over in my mind. How on earth? You know, I read the story of the event in chapter 14 of Exodus, and kept on rereading it. Not a clue was given there at all. And then I had a strong impression, keep reading after the event. And there we have, on the other end of the crossing, we have Moses, sister Miriam, leading the crowd in a great song of triumph and victory and gratitude. And in that song comes the clue as to what had happened. And it's mentioned that the waters congealed. Now, if I like to use the illustration of blood, it's easy to understand. If blood congeals, we get a clot. Is that right?
Right.
And if water congeals, well, I looked up the dictionary. Congeal means a liquid state becomes a solid state. How does liquid water become solid? It can only become solid by turning to ice. So
right.
Suddenly everything fell into place. It began to make sense. Those waters froze. They had to be. The cliffs of water on both sides had to become ice so that the wind could drop. Because if the wind kept on blowing, holding them up, it would just blow the people away. They would never get across.
Right.
So now it made sense.
Okay. We do have a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back. And there's incidences of this happening today in certain areas. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com. Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Jonathan Gray. His website is beforeus.com. There are some people in the chat room who are asking questions. And let's address the relevant ones first. One comment was, no wind has the power to do that. Possibly an electrical phenomenon could. However, there are indications that these battles never occurred on Earth, but were descriptions of battles happening in the sky between electrically active planets. Is that relevant, or can you address that, or...
I would say that we're dealing here with speculation rather than fact. Our archaeological teams have actually unearthed fact, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. The Bible says that God did it. And now, if we do believe in a God, a creator who can make heaven and earth, we should have no trouble in believing that when the Bible says with the breath of his mouth, he actually produced this amazing wind, and it opened up the sea, one side and another. There's no known electrical force that could be so precise as to open up that particular spot where the land bridge was on both sides and hold it there and freeze it so that the people could come through. Now, the Bible word congeal, taking the Bible as an authority, which I do, now, because we have every reason to accept it word for word as historically true, when it says that the water congealed, It comes from the Hebrew word korphor, which means to shrink or to freeze the water, to change from a fluid or soft to a solid or rigid state. And there's evidence for that having taken place. And we do know that there's backup physical features which can produce the same thing. Now, in a certain part of the hot Iranian desert, and I was travelling through on my way back to the Red Sea, I stopped over at Athens and I had lunch at a certain cafe, and I met a gentleman who was just coming in from Iran. We were sort of comparing notes as to what we were doing, and he said, you know, in a certain part of the hot Iranian desert, villagers have built parallel stone walls close together through which the wind will blow. And then toward night, as the temperature drops, they pour water on the ground between the walls. And he said, I was a witness to this. The night wind freezes the water and provides natural refrigeration. Now, I was in an audience in the United States, speaking in California, and a man came up to me and he said, look, here in the USA, along Arizona Interstate 40, south of Flagstaff, there are road signs that point to ice caves. Now, here, where water has seeped down a mountain into a natural tunnel and the wind blows through, in this hot desert country, the water is turned to ice. And he said the pioneers used these ice caves to refrigerate food. I spoke to another man who just come back from the Antarctic, and he said, look, down in the Antarctic, when the wind blows, you can throw a cup of hot coffee into the air, and before it touches the ground, it comes down as icicles. That's the power of wind.
Oh, my.
So all we need to do is use nature, the effect of water or wind blowing on water, to indicate a law of nature in action. But of course, at the Red Sea crossing, this was done on a supernatural scale. And the Bible says a strong wind blowing on walls of water froze them solid. Now, I believe that this is nothing less than a miracle, but it does bring into focus the laws of nature that are already created. And, of course, the Lord is in control of the forces he created, no question.
Right. Now, you said, I believe I heard you say, or I read at some point, that you did not necessarily believe in the Bible before you started this archaeological efforts.
Oh, I lived the life of an unbeliever for decades, a good part of my life. All I was interested in was making money and having a good time, all-night parties and all those sort of things. I had to have that all taken away from me before I'd start thinking about God. Then I'd go into a home of some people, and they turned out to be Christians after they had invited me to lunch, and they'd start playing Christian music during the meal, and I'd be squirming. I just couldn't wait to finish the meal and get out of that house. That's how I used to live.
And you believed in the Big Bang Theory at that point in time, or how did you think that all this came together?
Oh, yes, for a time I did believe in the Big Bang Theory. Of course, we now know that evolution is just a theory. It's not a scientific fact, and there's a lot of scientific evidence now showing something different.
Sure. Okay, so tell us what you found, what the divers found, and you spent a good deal of time going under the water, deep under the water, and what did your crew find? And you had a very nice boat. I mean, you had all of the right equipment. So tell us your findings.
Okay. Well, the findings are absolutely amazing. Now, the passage of time has enabled coral to grow over objects. Coral grows over something and preserves what's inside very, very nicely. Within just half an hour of diving, our first team, we've been down there. We've had up to 35 international divers in all. We've been down there so many times, and each time we go, the sea bed is moving a little bit around. Not the seabed, the water's moving around, and it covers over things sometimes with sand, and then it uncovers things you didn't see last time, and we're always seeing new things. We're seeing the remains of chariot wheels. There are six-spoked wheels, four-spoked wheels, eight-spoked wheels, There are remains of skeletal remains of humans and of horses, all mixed up around between these wheels. There are parts of cabs, of chariots, that are separated from the wheels. And that's interesting because the Book of Exodus does say that the chariot wheels all came off when Pharaoh went down. And I believe this is how it must have happened. As the Israelites went through, the wind held off because it had already formed the frozen walls. And this gave them a passageway, and the congealed water between the grains of sand on the seabed would form a hard surface so that their carts and their chariots could come across without any problem. But after a few hours of that, we've calculated that it would have taken about 7 hours for all those people from the first to the last to negotiate the whole distance. And that gives them plenty of time. It could have been quicker than that, but 7 hours at the maximum. Okay, then in the morning, remember 7 hours the wind's not been blowing. All right? A thawing process will begin. And as Pharaoh's army comes down onto the seabed, they stretch out, they're going fast with their chariots. Suddenly, the solid floor is starting to thaw out. What was ice holding the sand together is now becoming wet. It's becoming liquid again. And so the wheels are, the axles are breaking, the wheels are coming off. And this is how we've found it all over the seabed. Wheels that have come off their axles. Axles that have no wheels. Chariot cabs that have no wheels. It's everywhere, Deanna. It's amazing, absolutely astonishing.
Right, and you took one of these wheels to an analyst. I don't know whether it was a 6-spoke or 8-spoke that you took to an analyst to see exactly what period of time this might have been from.
Yes, my colleague Ron, he went across to Ali Hassan, Dr. Ali Hassan, in the Antiquities Department in Cairo. And he said to him, I've got this off the seabed. Tell me, how can you date this? And you know, that man, without any hesitation, was able to say 18th Dynasty Egyptian. Now, 18th Dynasty Egyptian is in the 1400s BC, the time of Moses. Now, Ron said to him, how can you be sure? So, I mean, you've just told me off the top of your head, you haven't gone researching it, you've just looked at the wheel, you've told me this, how do you know so certainly? He said, well, that was the only time in Egyptian history, the 18th dynasty was the only time in Egyptian history when the 8-spoke wheel was used. So that dates it remarkably well. And also there were 6-spoke and 4-spoke wheels used at the same time, but the 8-spoke was peculiar to that period of history, the time of the Exodus.
Right. And you also found some wheels that were gold or gold-plated over wood.
One that's gold-plated because coral will not grow over gold. It'll grow over iron and wood and other things, but it won't grow over gold. So that wheel has been photographed and re-photographed, and then it gets buried, and we don't see it. If we got one time we'll go down, we won't find it, but it's there.
Now, you mentioned that the sand shift, and pretty soon things get covered up, and I know that when I was in Israel, the Israeli state, there were some aqueducts. And the sand, we have no idea how much the sand moves in the Middle East. But when you consider that these tall aqueducts, some of them were nearly covered over because you have all this flat land, and when the sands blow, they blow in tons of sand that can cover things up. And I would imagine that this occurs at the bottom of the sea also.
Oh, yes, that's right. And if it wasn't for the sand, we'd probably see a lot more there. We have a friend, she's a loose member of the team from Norway. She's a nurse, and she went down, she wanted to go and see if this continued across to the other side. We've only been diving on the Egyptian end of the crossing. So she managed to get a job as a nurse in Saudi Arabia, and it's very hard to get into that country. They don't open it to tourism the way that we do and you do. And so if you have an invitation to work there and you have certain skills that they need, then you can get a job often in Saudi Arabia. And on her time off, she made a trip up to the other side of the crossing in Saudi Arabia. And she went diving right there. And the same things we'd been finding on the west, she found on the east end of the crossing. So we know that it goes right across.
And that's, how many miles is that? 26 or 30?
About 13 miles from end to end, yes.
Okay. All righty. There is another question from the chat room. This is from Rick. He says, can you ask your guest if he is aware of Peter Mungo Jupp, J-U-P-P? He is an Australian archaeologist with a passion not to follow traditions in archaeology. Peter does not think archaeology involves being thrilled by dusting off broken pots and bones. What drives him is a passion to ask questions about civilizations and huge constructions that were suddenly smashed and just disappeared from the face of the earth. He also questions how cosmic interference affected our planet.
Yes, I have heard of him, and he's found out some wonderful things. His work and mine touch each other in some ways, but they're not necessarily parallel.
Okay. Now you talk about the big monuments, the big pyramids, and you show what size they are relative to a person that's standing next to a pyramid. And I've often wondered I know they use slave labor, but how did they lift these huge stones and elevate them up so that they could place them one on top of the other? That's always amazed me.
Yes, that's a fascinating question. I know at school we're taught that they got all this huge amount of sand, many times the volume of the pyramids. So take the Great Pyramid, for example. They had sand quite a few times multiplied of volume that the Great Pyramid itself was going to be built of. And so they first built a huge ramp as it went up, and then they used slave labor to pull and haul with ropes and pulleys and so on, to get the big stones up there. Now, it is true that on some of the later monuments of Egypt, that method of construction, which is to us quite primitive, was ultimately used. But in the earlier constructions, it's interesting that the smaller populations of the smaller population times of Egypt in the early days, they built the largest pyramids, the largest construction. Now, they used a different method, and the Egyptian records themselves do say that in the beginning the stones were lifted by sound waves. Now, we might say, well, that sounds a little far-fetched, but it is true today that scientists who are involved with sound waves say that sound waves can help to rearrange the molecular construction of an object so it is lighter and you can lift it up. And this is known to be so, because everything is composed of vibrations, and you just change the vibrational rate, and the atomic attraction is changed between atoms in an object, and this could make it lighter for raising. It's interesting also, it's not just Egyptian accounts that speak of sound waves being used to neutralize the effect of gravity. But if you go to South America, there are primitive tribes who point to ruins of buildings in cities that no longer are inhabited, and they say, our ancestors, our forefathers built this city, and they did it with sound waves. They raised these big blocks by sound. If you go to the Caroline Islands in the Pacific, similar legends still exist. You go to India, and in modern times, sound waves, a certain pitch, chanting and sound has been used to raise a huge block of stone up a cliff. This is documented in our day, so it would not be surprising to think that the Egyptians did have the secret of lifting heavy weights without having to use slave labour and pulleys and huge amount of sand.
Well, that is interesting. Would you relate that to directed energy?
You could relate that to directed energy, yes. There are people working now with car engines who say that sound can increase the fuel consumption of a vehicle, but it's not in general use right now. But experimentally, it has been done.
Amazing. All righty, we're going to take a 3-minute break to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Are you tormented with anxiety, depression, or other chronic symptoms of less than perfect health? In 2010, a few people got to participate in a groundbreaking discovery. Dr. Carolyn Dean, world-renowned authority on natural health, has recently patented a technology that is straight out of science fiction. And she invited me to try this product called RNA Drops. And within 12 hours of taking RNA Drops, I could feel an amazing sense of bliss. And since then, I've watched my troubles with depression and other health issues vanish into freedom and happiness again. Listen to hours of testimonials and get your trial bottle of RNA Drops at www.rnafreebottle.com. That's www.rnafreebottle.com. Pay only shipping and handling and get your free trial bottle today at rnafreebottle.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Our guest today is Jonathan Gray, the author of Forbidden Secret and Dead Men's Secrets. His website is beforeus.com. And one of the questions in the chat room, what time period do you date the Giza pyramids to?
Okay, that's an interesting one. I know traditionally the Great Pyramids dated around about 2800 BC. I do believe that it was more recent than that by several hundred years. If we look at Egyptian history, we find that it has been inflated. and pharaohs who ruled simultaneously in different parts of Egypt have been mistaken as pharaohs reigning consecutively, and therefore they've been placed on the Egyptian king list as later or earlier, which extends the period. And this is an artificial inflation. Now, also, many pharaohs had as many as five names, and sometimes these five names were used and others were not, of the same person, and these have been put into the king list as though they were five different people. Now, when we discover this and we start putting everything how it should be, it diminishes history in Egypt by about 600 years. And so what is said to be have happened about 2800 BC, it comes down to about 2200 BC. And there's evidence that the Great Pyramid, certain factors about that pyramid that enable us to date it as having been constructed between 2100 BC and 2200 BC.
All righty. Another comment, I believe this is from Rick. He said that there is a well-known water bridge which can be formed by applying high voltage to two different containers of water. Are you familiar with that kind of situation?
I'm not familiar about how that could form a bridge, but that's an interesting idea. I'd need more information on that to speak on it.
Okay. Now, in your book, Forbidden Secret, part two, you ask the question, did aliens create us?
Oh, yes. It's a popular question today. For a long, long time, we've been taught the theory of evolution, and it's still taught in places of learning today. And yet, when Darwin postulated his theory of the origin of species back in 1859, he published his book, certain features of the of science were not discovered. DNA and genetics, of course, was one, and fossils had not been explored as they have now. And today, the new evidence is showing the evolution theory is looking rather sick. So there are people who are looking for another answer to the origin of human life on this planet, and they're turning toward the possibility that extraterrestrials visited this Earth, and either they created life, or they interbred or produced genetic combinations with what they had and Earth life that was trying to evolve but wasn't doing very well. And that's a theory. Now,
alrighty. We have our 60-second top of the hour break, so we'll be right back after station ID and a word from our sponsors. Be right back.